Matthew 28, though, we're going through looking at why we are and what we believe. And again, I know a lot, some of this, I shouldn't say a lot, but some is a little bit monotonous and repetitive, but it's important, isn't it? And I'm so thankful we have a church that doesn't preach sweet cream and cupcakes and candy all the time, right? Sugarcoating everything and every message. We need to know exactly what the Bible says and understand what we believe and why we believe it. The Bible's very clear that the Christian is to be well equipped. The Christian is supposed to know and have an understanding of what they believe and why. And that's why Paul wrote to Timothy and said, study to show thyself approved unto men. Does it say that? No, it says study to show thyself approved unto God, right? That's our goal. We need to be studying and be prepared. Peter would later say that. Be prepared to give an answer. Okay, so Matthew 28, again, just towards the end, I didn't give you the verse, did I? Verse 18, right at the end of the gospel, and it says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, one, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, two, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, three. And then he says, and lo, or listen, or look, or pay attention, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So the comforting fact that Jesus leaves with us before he ascends up and back into heaven is that I'm always with you. But he gives us some commands. That's what we'll look at here this evening is distinctive number three, is that baptism is by immersion for believers only. Okay? Now let's look at this here tonight. Baptism, the first paragraph there, is a part of the Great Commission to the church. We're to teach the gospel, win people to Christ. As soon as they believe and are saved, notice, we are to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Then we are to teach them how to follow Christ. That's discipleship. Baptism is a very important step that is to immediately follow salvation. Now, these distinctives involve five characteristics that differ from what many other churches practice concerning baptism. First of all, only believers are to be baptized, which excludes unbelievers and infants who neither believe nor disbelieve. Second, immersion is the only acceptable mode of baptism scripturally. Sprinkling and pouring on are not baptism. Third, baptism is not a step in receiving Christ, but rather a testimony that one already has received Him. Fourth, baptism is a necessary step of obedience after salvation. And fifth, believer's baptism by immersion is a requisite for church membership. Okay, so I rushed through those a little bit because we're going to look at each one of those step by step. Okay, now very clearly, number one, let's just go ahead and run through this. We see, first of all, that baptism is for believers only. Now again, notice the verse there in your notes I put there in Acts 2:41. Those of you listening online possibly. Acts 2:41, and it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, I like a day like that. I'd love a Sunday like that, wouldn't you? That'd be a good day. And we think about that. But that was a great day. That was an amazing day that God did a special work in the early church. But notice that it's for believers only. Now, I emphasize that because there are some denominations and believers that'll allow anybody to get baptized. And they'll come in and say, can I get baptized, Pastor Tim? Okay, sure. Now, the emphasis of that or the reasoning behind it is that they come to get baptized. Why? Basically, so that they can get cleansed from their sins. And that's what they believe. And we'll see that in the next point, or that's third or fourth point, whatever it is, that it's not baptismal regeneration. Baptism, clearly in Scripture, is not that. Now, people say, I'm asked this often, surprisingly, people say, now, is baptism required to go to heaven? No, it's not, right? You know that. You don't need that. That's not scriptural. Baptism always follows salvation, and it is a testimony or an identification with the Lord. Okay, we'll get into that in a minute. But notice letter A under that. So this is taught by Christ's example. Matthew 3, if you're still in Matthew, I guess you are. Yeah, we haven't turned anywhere else. Matthew 3, would you go back there with me? Notice that this is taught by his example, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And I like what John said. I would have said the same thing. But John forbade him or said, hang on a second here. I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said, and suffer it to be so for now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered it. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Okay, so a reiteration of the pleasure from the Father, of the Son. But again, just a clarification, it's taught by Christ's example, right? So one under that, he certainly had no sin to wash away, clearly. We believe very clearly in the Scriptures that it's taught, it's called the impeccability of Christ. It means he was without sin. You say, well, he never had a dirty thought or a bad thing. He never lied or told a white lie. No, it's clear. The Bible says he was without sin. Else, he would have never been able to die on the cross for our sins. A sinner can't die for sinners, right? It defeats the purpose. He had to be impeccable. He had to be without sin, and that's exactly who he was. Oh, and I love that. I'm so excited about it. Because we serve a risen Savior who paid the price, and it is effective. It is for us. Okay, now, secondly, under that point, he was already the Son of God, did not need the new birth. So it's not some type connection, I'm saying, to salvation. Jesus, and there was a movie put out, probably 20 years ago. So there's a lot of movies been put out. But one of them, he came up out of the water, and here came the dove down upon him. And in that moment, he realized, I'm the Messiah, you know. I'm the Son of God. Oh, I didn't know that. Wow. And he goes on for the rest of the movie, how he was just confused, didn't know what he was, and all of a sudden, I didn't know how I could do all these miracles. Wrong. Unbiblical. We know, in fact, you go back to the age of 12 years old, you remember, when his parents left him behind, accidentally lost Jesus, and that's a good message in and of itself, but lost him. They went back 3 days journey looking for him, and they finally found him in the temple. He was teaching the elder men, the scholars, the biblical scholars, teaching them the Scriptures. And the mother says what? Mary, son, did you not know we were searching for you? And he says, how have you sought me? I must be about what? My Father's business. So he already knew, okay, that's just one example, of his deity. He knew that. We know that. Okay, so clearly, we're just talking tonight about this, that it is for believers only. Now, letter B, though, notice it is also taught by the Great Commission that we just read. We are, one, to teach and preach the gospel and to win people to Christ, and two, we are to baptize them after they believe. Okay? Very clear. Now, letter C, then, this is taught by the example of Philip and the eunuch. Now, this is a great story. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. This is one of the, I guess I could say funny. It's not very fun, but it's a great story. Acts chapter 8. Now here's Philip. He's tootling along. Acts chapter 8, notice, let's jump down to verse 36 I have there. And verse 36. And the story goes that there's this man traveling, this Ethiopian eunuch fella. And he's reading in the Scriptures in the book of Isaiah, and he's confused and doesn't know what to do. And Philip comes, and he explains it to him. And notice verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into, underline that word into, the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. I'm just talking about that. It was first, do you believe, right? It wasn't, can I get baptized? Look, there's water. Can I get baptized? Sure. Why don't we get down in the water and I'll wash away your sins? It doesn't say that. He says, do you believe? Sure. Okay, what works have you done? No, as we looked at last week, by grace, through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. Now, that's exactly what he's saying here. And I love it. I heard a pastor friend one time, he was going through, and they stopped at this really beautiful, ornate cathedral. It was like 200-year-old cathedral type of thing. They were walking through, and the tour guide was leading them around and said, now, that's where this famous guy preached this at that pulpit, and here's where these people prayed, and this and that. And there's a little basin of water. Those of you that grew up in one of those denominations that did that, basin of water, and that's where they sprinkled people and baptized. And the pastor raised his hand and made a joke, and he said, that's kind of funny, but how do the pastor and the person get both into that to get baptized? And the guy didn't think it was very funny, okay? And he thought, but I thought about that. That's true. How is that? That's very clear in Scripture that they both went into or down into the water. Now, we're going to look at that in the next point, what it means to be immersed. So, under this letter C point, real quick, baptism is for believers only. Infants cannot be believe and should not be baptized. Now, again, some of you may have gotten sprinkled as a baby, and we understand the meaning behind it, and we know why your parents did that, okay? It was for a good reason and a good cause. What I'm saying is, though, that we must be careful We cannot rely upon that baptism as an infant. Unbelievers should not be baptized. If you have not followed the Lord in believers' baptism since you were saved, you are not baptized in the way acceptable to the Lord, biblically. Okay, now number two, notice baptism by is immersion. Now I have this here, note, words are important. We communicate our thoughts and ideas by means of words. Words must have a fixed meaning, and we must understand that meaning if we're to understand someone's thoughts. God has expressed his thoughts to us in words, which have a fixed meaning. The words he had recorded for us in the New Testament are a form of Greek that is no longer used by any people. Now, the Greek used today that you would hear on the streets if you were to go over to Greece and other places, it is very similar, but it is not exactly the same. Bible we refer to is in the Koine Greek. It's of the common people language, if you want to call it that. But that's what we have, and that's what they translated it out of. Now, as we see, the meanings of the words are written in stone, so to speak. We believe in the preservation, inspiration of Scripture. What they meant when he spoke them is exactly what they mean today. Now, of course, God chose it to be that way, so we can always know what he meant. We can look up the words, how they're used in the days when he spoke them, and how exactly what they meant. Now, I said all that to lead up to the second paragraph. We need to know exactly what God has said and what he requires of us. The way to do that is to study the words. He, of course, has absolute command of all language. He chose the exact words he wanted to express to us, his thoughts, his commands, his requirements for us. Now again, I say I'm laboring this point because there's much confusion today among believers as to what constitutes baptism. Okay, so notice this in this third paragraph. There's three words basically used in Scripture, Greek words. When the Lord commanded us to be baptized, he chose the word baptizo. The word means to dip, immerse, plunge, or submerge. He did not choose the word rontizo, which means to sprinkle. Neither did he choose the word keo or epikeo, which means to pour or pour upon. He did use those words in his New Testament, but never to express the command to be baptized. So we must be very careful about that. And you say, well, I'm not going to go back and study the Greek. You could, and maybe you should, right, in your studies. But to just clarify to you, he never used those other two words. He used baptizo, meaning to immerse. Okay, that's what it is. And a big debate today of, does it really matter? Well, to us it does, because Jesus commanded us to do that very thing. People say, what does it matter if I come to church? With the modern technology we have, I mean, it's such a blessing, but it's also somewhat of a curse, because people, oh, I'll just stay home and watch. And why do we come to church? Well, the Bible's clear. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That's the whole meaning of the church, is a higher kind of European word, kirk, we got it from. But it comes back to what? Ecclesia means the called out assembly of believers, not the called out pajama couch potatoes. I say that very funny, but we have folks that watch online, praise God for them, and they're not able to come due to illness or other things like that. But we do that because the Word of God tells us to do it. Baptism by immersion, okay? Now, letter A, the illustration in Scripture indicates immersion. On the flip page, Jesus, notice Matthew 3:16, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. I'm just clarifying, the Bible is logical. It really is, okay? The Bible depends upon your common sense, okay? People read the Bible and go, I don't see it in there. If you'd use common sense, you know, okay, we'd understand that. And they went down, notice Acts 8:38, we read, both into the water. Right. Letter B, the symbolic meaning teaches immersion. Well, let's go to Romans 6 real quick with me. Romans chapter 6, go forward a little bit there in your Bibles, Romans 6. Again, if you've not read through the book of Romans, I would greatly encourage you to do so. And read through it very slowly and take your time. It will greatly encourage your spirit. It'll help you. Those of you that have been reading through your Bible on an annual basis or yearly basis, you probably no doubt have already gotten past Romans, but I'd encourage you to read it. Romans 6, verse number 3, notice the symbolic meaning. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk, notice, in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So very clearly, Paul goes on to talk about this symbolic meaning of baptism. That's what it is. And when someone gets baptized, you stand in the water. It represents the death, the burial, underwater, and back up, resurrection. That's what it means. And we raise them up. Usually when I'll bring some of them up out of the water, there's some people I've held under a little longer than most. No, I'm kidding. I won't do that. And bring them up out of the water. I'll say, and raised to walk in newness of life, right? And that's what exactly it is, okay? So we see that. Now, it's a symbolic meaning. It's a picturing the death, burial, and resurrection. This can only be done by being immersed in water deep enough for you to be buried. And there's all kinds of jokes about that. It's the water's too shallow or something, okay? This symbolizes that Christ, what he did for us. He died, was buried, rose again. He's briefly entombed in the earth. We are briefly entombed in the water, hopefully briefly. He arose from the grave. We're raised from the water. We declare that we've been raised to walk in newness of life. The Lord commanded us to be immersed in water to picture our salvation. Pouring or sprinkling water on us can never satisfy this command. Therefore, if your baptism was not again as in immersion, it does not satisfy the Lord's command. In other words, if you do not have not been immersed, you have not been baptized. It is impossible to arrive at any other conclusion from the words of Scripture without, notice this, wresting them from their normal meaning and thereby doing violence to God's word. We already studied that word wresting, where we get our word wrestle from, means to twist the Scriptures in order to fit your own doctrine. And we covered that before, but we come to the Bible not with our own ideology and beliefs and say, well, I hope the Bible meets my standards or else I'm throwing it out. That's most professors today in our colleges. We come to the Bible and say, Lord, speak to me and show me exactly what you want me to know. I believe in the preservation and inspiration of Scripture. You've given it to me, and I want to follow that. Again, and I use the example often of my wedding ring, but I'll tell people that, and I'll say the wedding ring is a symbol. If I take it off, am I still married? Well, sure, I often forget it. I hardly wear it when I'm out and about working and stuff. Maybe some of you do as well. But I take it off, I'm still married. But it's just a symbol, right? I put it on and somebody sees me in the store and goes, that guy's married. And a friend says, how do you know? You haven't even talked to that guy. You don't even know that guy. Say, well, he's got a ring on. I can tell, oh, okay. That's exactly what it is, right? It does not carry with it any salvation. It is a symbolic thing that you're publicly identifying with him. Then people say, well, what's the reason? Why even get baptized? Is it a big deal? Am I still going to heaven? Absolutely. If you don't get baptized, you're still going. But it is what? It's the first step in obedience to Jesus Christ in your walk with him. And we want to be right with the Lord. Now, thirdly, baptism is a testimony, as I talked about. It is not a step in a process of salvation. Now, salvation is by grace through faith, as we looked at last week, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, not of works. And two, baptism is a good work that we can do after we're saved, okay? People say, well, it's a works-based thing. No, it's a good work we do after. And that's exactly what we see in Scripture. I won't belabor that point. Okay, letter B, it is a testimony to the man of faith in Christ. Now, faith in Christ is required before baptism, as we saw in Acts 2 and Acts 8. And number two, baptism follows because of the remission of sins. Now, this is something very important. I want you to notice this with me and highlight it or underline it, because this is what's the biggest thing that people will attack. Okay, now, Acts 2:38. If you want to turn there, you can if you don't have to. But Acts 2:38, it says this. Then Peter said unto them, I was going to read something else, but I better not. Okay, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now notice this, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, hang on a second. It just tells us that we get baptized and it's the remission of sins. It washes away our sins, right? Now again, notice the paragraph I have here. The word for, as used in Acts 2:38 for the remission, could have two meanings. If you saw a poster saying, Jesse James wanted for robbery, for could mean Jesse is wanted so he can commit a robbery, or is wanted because he has committed a robbery. Now we know the latter sense is the correct one. So too is this passage. The word for signifies an action in the past. Otherwise, it would violate the entire tenor of New Testament teaching on salvation by grace, not by works, right? We want Jesse James so he can rob a bank for us. No. It's because he has robbed a bank. We know that. Any of you have ever tried to learn another language, right? You know that to be true. And again, Lord bless my wife's heart. She's still trying to help me with Spanish. And I told you she's about to kill me, but she's just listen. And I'm trying to listen. I don't get it. But it is. If you've ever tried to learn Spanish or another language, their sentences are backwards almost, aren't they? Tim, go to the store. Let's go to the store. Tim went to the store. Went to the store, Tim. You know, whatever, I can't even understand it. But you know, understand that. Same meaning, but you understand here. Now, the word for, very clear in Scripture. And again, I say this, that the Word of God has a continuity to it, okay? It's cohesive. So if it says this here, you don't isolate a Scripture and say, well, that says it there, so that's what it means. When the next umpteen books in the New Testament after that don't teach that. Okay, so you come back and say, okay, what does it mean then? And again, always follow everything in its context, following through. Okay, so that's something very interesting, but that's the one thing that they're going to attack. You have individuals, and I won't go through all of that. I don't have time. Okay, but they're going to go right to this verse. See, this is what it says. You must understand the context of it. Number five, okay, we're almost through this here. Notice, baptism is a necessary step after salvation. Okay, now 1 Peter 3:21. It's there in your notes. Notice that. 1 Peter 3:21 says the like figure. Now, underline that word like. Whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Uh-oh. Hang on a second. And then there's the parenthetical statement. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Not the washing away of the flesh. But what? The answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Baptism is a good answer towards God. Your conscience, right? It's right towards God. I woulda, coulda, shoulda. Again, we talked about that. A lot of Christians will be like that on Judgment Day. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Man, I wish I woulda. Wish I coulda done that. I wish I shoulda followed that and done what I was supposed to do. But notice the like figure. Okay, we understand that. The Bible is full of likes, similes, metaphors, analogies, right? Allegories. All the things that we learned and hopefully we learned in middle school and high school English. Man, I hated that. Did you guys hate that? What? Participle? A gerund? Remember all that? What in the world? A hanging gerund or whatever that was? Who cares? But it does matter, okay? But he says a like figure. There's something that we can study, and I'd encourage you to do so. Very fascinating. It's called typology. Typology. And you take the Bible, there's so many types in the Bible of something else. There's something like 21 types of Christ in the Bible. And I said before, there's also, I think it's somewhere between 19 and 20 types of an antichrist, right? Okay, so Abel was a type of Christ. Cain was a type of who? Obviously, antichrist. Killed him. We see that through Scripture. I mean, Joseph is another type of Christ. Moses, Abraham, on and on we could go. Typology, very interesting. And he uses here the like figure of baptism. It does not save us. It's not putting away the filth of the flesh. What does it do? It's an answer of a good conscience. Now, as Noah was saved from the wrath of God by the water which brought the wrath, we are saved from a guilty conscience by the waters of baptism. It does not wash away the filthy sins of the flesh. They have already been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Baptism pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, which saved, notice, saved us. Baptism is obedience to Scripture and is the first evidence of true belief. To be accepted into the fellowship of believers, there needs to be more than just a verbal statement that one has believed the gospel and been saved. That person must give evidence of that belief by submitting to baptism. It is a step of obedience which identifies us with the faith. Okay, Ephesians 4, verse 3. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There's only one faith that is acceptable, only one baptism. Isn't that wonderful? He just simplifies it for us, doesn't he? Man corrupts everything. Man adds to and contaminates. Hinduism has something, I don't know how many umpteen million gods they have that they have to pray to. I don't know. It's just crazy, isn't it? All the stuff we invent. God says, I'll just bring it down. There's one. But that's exactly what he says. There is the step of obedience. It identifies us in the faith. Okay, then notice the last one and we'll wrap it up. Baptism is a requisite for church membership. The first requisite for church membership is salvation. Baptism completes the second requisite for church membership and unites us with the local church where we are baptized. The one baptism that is acceptable cannot be separated from church membership, as we saw in Acts 2, 41, and then 47. When you obey the Lord in baptism, you are united with the local church, which authorizes it. Okay, again, now there's three aspects to that, and again, I say this just to, if you didn't know it. If you came from another church of like faith and practice, you're saved, obviously, and you were baptized in that church by immersion, you would come to us and say, Brother Tim, I'd like to join your church as a member. Praise the Lord for that. Great. And I would call and request a letter from that church and say, okay, Joe Blow is coming to, he moved over here from Ohio or something, and he's wanting to join our church. Is he a good member in good standing? Oh yeah, great guy, serves the Lord, loves the Lord. Okay, great. We'll accept your membership. You don't have to come and get rebaptized. There's another step, second step, is that you can come by what's called a statement of faith. You can come forward and say, well, I'd like to come. I have been baptized. I have been saved, and we'll accept that. But you weren't maybe a part of a church, right, before. You weren't a member of another church. It's been a while or something. We'll accept that. Okay, and you can become a member. But if you haven't been baptized, then that obviously you would come, and you say, I know I'm saved, Brother Tim, but I haven't been baptized. Okay, great. Baptize you, and you immediately become a member of our church. A membership doesn't carry, people get so nervous when I talk about that. Oh, he's going to make us do something. You know, we got to come together and do certain things. No, it's just basically we're putting your name down on a membership roll and saying the date when you joined us. And if anyone were to ask us, we could say, yes, Joe Blow is on our membership roll in good standing, etc. Okay, so that's all it is. Membership carries with it some special privileges, though, right? You're part of God's family, and you're doing what God's commanded you to do. So again, just to emphasize this, and I had more, but I know you folks know these things. I hope you do. But I hope something tonight helped you understand it. For me, one of the biggest things that I've been, that someone has come at me with is that Acts 2:38, right? Well, it clearly says that baptism is for what? Washing away sins, for remission of sins. And if you take it and come back and do some real study with it, not even some deep study, just some basic surface study, you'll find very clearly of what exactly they're saying, okay? Now, we're going to get into a later point. I don't know when. I don't want to put a date on it. I can never trust a pastor when he says that, okay? I don't know when. We're going to get into a lot of what's called the dispensations of the Bible and the separation and divisions that we're going to look at in studying. A lot of people take the book of Acts and try to apply it to the church today, and they get into trouble, right? It's a different dispensation. Now, we're going through that in our Bible Institute. We're going through the book of Acts, and I'm enjoying that because he's going through and explaining some of that. But we're going to look at that in a later date. Anyways, suffice it to say, you understand what baptism is, and Lord willing, praise God, we're going to get this going. I know I keep saying that. We're going to do it someday and get that going. And if you haven't been baptized, we'd love to baptize you. And Lord willing, in the future, we'll get more folks in, get them baptized, dunk them, and keep them going. People often say, what's so special about Baptists? What makes you distinct? Is it all about baptism? And I say, no, it's not that. That's just the surface. But they do want to know what baptism means, right? So we know what it means, and we can clearly lay it out for them. Anyways, hope that was a help to you. Again, take this home. Look these verses up. Study them for yourself and come to your own conclusion. And I know if you do it in the with the power of the Holy Spirit, He will help you clearly see what baptism is, okay? Next week, we'll continue, Lord willing, with this and move ahead with it. And we've got 56 other points to go. Amen. No, we don't. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for an opportunity to share the word tonight. I know, again, as I say this, Lord, I know these folks know most of this. I hope something said tonight was a help. Maybe they didn't know something. But Lord, also that God, we pray that something here was edifying to the people. Just to know, Father, you haven't made it complicated. It's very clear for us. We know what it is. Help us, Father, to be able to study and to be prepared to give an answer as we begin to live our lives distinct, separate from this world. People will begin to ask questions. We want to know. We thank you for your great grace in giving us the Word of God. We can take it, hold it, study it, memorize it, and hold it near and dear to us. We do pray for those that couldn't be here tonight. Watch over them. Be with us the rest of our week. If it be thy will, bring us back safely on Sunday. In Jesus' precious name, and amen.